Chess is such a difficult game. There's so many pieces.
The game of chess is one of the two newest inductees to the National Toy Hall of Fame. The other inductee announced yesterday, the rubber duck. They are the ones. And we will talk about these honorees and other classic toys this hour. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, November 8th. What toy would you induct into the National Toy Hall of Fame? It might be there already, or it might have been one of this year's finalists. Or it might be a new nomination for our guest to consider. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Chris Bench. He is Vice President for Collections at the Strong Museum in Rochester, New York, which includes the National Toy Hall of Fame and the National Museum of Play. Good morning.
Hey, Joy.
It's good to have you back on the show. And we'll talk a little bit more about how this all works. But there were 12 finalists this year, and in the end, only the rubber duck and chess made it into the Hall of Fame. Why the rubber duck? What's its story?
The rubber duck is an ideal toddler toy. It is nothing but pure fun. If chess is cerebral and all about strategy and winning and losing, the rubber duck just makes you smile, whether you're 2 or 82.
Mm-hmm.
And it has proven that it can endure for decades. It's been around since at least the 1930s, 1940s, and it has become such a standard, such an icon, that it gets spoofed on and turned into new varieties. A 40-foot rubber duck is touring the harbors and rivers of the world, and I have been dealing with every sort of rubber duck variation. Franken duck, Statue of Liberty duck, Kiss Stars duck, James Brown duck. They're all out there for kids and adults alike.
That's great. Now, chess, the game of chess, has been around practically forever. Why was this year the right year to honor it in the Hall of Fame?
We'd been hearing for years, since we inducted checkers back in 2003 into the Hall of Fame, why checkers, why not chess, and isn't it time that chess gets in? In fact, so many people were sure that chess was already in the Hall of Fame. It is such ingrained into the language and culture all over the world, and we thought that this was the year that it finally needed to take its place of honor.
You know, I had a Facebook friend who was lobbying on Facebook for the rubber duck to be one of yesterday's winners or inductees into the Hall of Fame. It wasn't. How does this work? How do the votes occur? Who decides what goes into the Hall of Fame?
Anyone can nominate a toy to the Hall of Fame. Last year, we had thousands of people nominate more than 350 different toys to be in the Hall of Fame. And those nominations come to us at the Strong Museum. We look at the ones that we feel best meet our three big criteria, which are longevity, recognition factor, and the toys that encourage learning, creativity, and discovery. And the ones that we feel best meet those criteria, the 12 finalists go out to our National Selection Committee, kind of the Academy and our little Academy Awards. They're people who have expertise in child development and American history and popular culture and the development of the toy industry. They make the final votes, and they're the ones who chose rubber duck and chess.
Very good. Well, we'll talk about the other finalists this year in a moment, but maybe we should talk a little bit, too, about what the Toy Hall of Fame considers a toy or the definition of a toy. Some people, for example, might look at one of the inductees in 2011, the blanket, and say, "What is that really a toy? What makes something a toy?"
Well, I just got a cranky email yesterday from someone who thought we were absolutely off our rockers to induct the blanket and the stick into the Hall of Fame, as we have. But we define toy, maybe the better word should be tools for play, mm-hmm. which isn't quite as catchy.
Right.
But games, toys, dolls, some things that verge on sports equipment, bicycles, skateboards. So those are part of the big picture of play, as well as some of the non-manufactured playthings that kids and adults repurpose for play, like the stick, the blanket, and the cardboard box.
Oh, the blanket made so many forts. I can't, you know, it's, certainly it's a toy.
It is, and you just have to see it through the right lens.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some of the other finalists. But now, are these finalists going to... do they change from year to year, or if something was, is something always an also-ran? You know what I'm saying?
For many years, the also-ran were Hot Wheels toy cars that had been finalists for a number of years, and they finally got in a couple years ago. More recently, one of this year's finalists, Magic 8-Ball, is kind of the Susan Lucci of the toy industry right now. It has been up for the big prize a number of times. And I keep asking it, Magic 8-Ball, is this going to be the year? And it has equivocated and not made it in.
Yeah, but... I have to play this because the Magic 8-Ball was one that I do remember. Actually, I think I was more a teenager when we started playing around with that thing. But let's take a listen.
My Magic 8-Ball tells me just what I should do.
Oh my goodness, that's a song. I thought it was going to be a commercial. But in any case, that's the toy that looks like an 8-ball, and then you ask it a question, and the little dice thing comes up and says yes, no, or I always got, you know, ask again, I think.
Right, Outlook Cloudy, I believe, is one of the others. So.
Yeah. Well, the other, there's so many classics here. Here's one that... Again, I wasn't a young child when this game first came out. Let's take a listen. I believe what we're hearing there is the sound of a Pac-Man video game.
Pac-Man really became the big brand name in the early part of the video game mm-hmm. craze, and it helped insert that pie-shaped, pizza-shaped character and his gobbling power pills and those three ghosts who are chasing him into American popular culture. He's been part of our history ever since. So, yes, Pac-Man certainly deserves a place eventually in the National Toy Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and this is something I remember my brothers playing with quite a bit. Let's take a listen.
All right, men, you heard it. Code Red, repeat. We are Code Red. Recon plan, Charlie. Execute. Let's move, 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 move.
The Little Green Army Men.
I still laugh thinking of the great scenes with them in those Toy Story movies as they execute military maneuvers, but always on their bases, so they've got to walk in that waddling way because they're on their little plastic platform.
Yeah, so it encourages creativity in that when you're playing with them, you know, you have to come up with some sort of scenario, and you're it's like you're using your imagination.
Imagination is key to so many of these playthings, and one of the qualities we hope to cultivate by highlighting toys in the Hall of Fame.
We are talking about the newest toys that were inducted into the Toy Hall of Fame just yesterday. The winners, the honorees yesterday, the rubber duck and the game of chess. We're talking about some of the other finalists this year, and we will talk about some of the other members of the Toy Hall of Fame as we go along. And we welcome your favorite toys. We welcome the toy that you would honor in the Toy Hall of Fame. And why? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
A detective has to be observant, cautious, and cool. When you play Clue, you have to figure out who did it. There are suspects, weapons, and scenes for a crime.
Mr. Green.
All right, so who else loved the game of Clue as a kid? The game of Clue was one of the finalists this year with the National Toy Hall of Fame ceremony. We are talking about the Hall of Fame winners and the finalists, and we're welcoming your favorite toys, the toy that you would nominate for the Toy Hall of Fame. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is the Vice President for Collections at the Strong Museum in Rochester, New York, which includes the National Toy Hall of Fame and the National Museum of Play, Chris Bench. And Chris, you played Clue as a kid, I bet.
I did. My cousins had it, and I always looked forward to going to their house so that I could see what Miss Scarlet and Professor Plum and all those other colorful characters had been up to.
Isn't that funny? I used to go to my friend's house because she had Mousetrap, and I didn't have that, so that was just a thrill to be able to do that. I didn't have a lot of the I guess the modern toys. The game I remember playing the most, and this is going to sound, I guess, kind of odd, but as a kid, I played a lot of card games, and my dad probably inappropriately taught me how to play sheep's head and poker and tonk and those kinds of games. Is a deck of cards in the Hall of Fame?
Yes, it got inducted in 2010, and I like to think of a deck of playing cards as the ultimate handheld game. It doesn't require batteries like some other handhelds, and you don't need to buy apps at the App Store, but it has so many possibilities packed into that little set of 52 cards.
Neat. And we talked a little bit about Clue. Are there other specific board games that are in the Hall of Fame?
Yes, the big iconic ones are in Scrabble and Monopoly. And that first one that so many of us learn our way around the board game, Candyland.
Oh, right. And I take it Mousetrap is probably there's too many missing parts, so that's why it's not in there.
Actually, I would love to see Mousetrap get in because it was a breakthrough game in the 1960s from a toy design studio, Marvin Glass Associates in Chicago. They were the ones who came up with so many clever game and toy designs. They did Mousetrap, they did Simon, they did Kerplunk. If it was plastic-based and had a gimmick that made you absolutely have it, it was probably a Marvin Glass toy.
Really? Well, we have lots of callers. Julian in Green Bay is with us. Hi, Julian.
Hi there.
What would you like to
How
nominate?
How are you guys today?
Good.
I would like to nominate Lego.
Yep.
Lego is an excellent suggestion, and Lego has been in the Hall of Fame since way back in 1998, its first year.
Excellent.
It definitely deserves a spot.
Oh, it sure does. And similar type building toys like, Lincoln Logs or Tinker Toys.
They are both in the Hall of Fame, as are the metal erector sets.
Very cool. All right. Thanks, Julian, for that suggestion. Nancy in Menominee Falls. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Joy. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes. What would you like to nominate?
Pickup sticks.
Does
anybody remember pickup sticks?
I do. Yeah. Were you any good at it, Nancy?
Oh, my girlfriend. She hated if her mother played and if her mother would beat us. It was such a, and then I think, what about the pogo stick? That's more like maybe a bigger toy my daughter loved the pogo stick. She could bounce on it for many minutes.
Yeah, I couldn't do the pogo stick, but I wasn't too bad at pickup sticks. What about those two, Chris?
The pogo stick was a finalist last year. It didn't make it in, but it'll have its turn eventually, and I like pickup sticks, too. They have not been a finalist so far, but they are great in combining dexterity and strategy. You've got to have both of those together to figure out which one to make that extrication next.
Thanks very much, Nancy. Let's go next to Brennan in Portage. Hi, Brennan.
Hi, good morning. I'm really enjoying your show this morning. It's fun to talk about the old toys we used to play with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure it'd be much of a nomination, but a toy I used to enjoy was a Stretch Monster and Stretch Armstrong.
Remind me what you did with those things, Brennan.
Well, you could pull their arms and they would stretch really far, or their legs. And Stretch Armstrong was a shaped wrestler toy. They had some kind of gel filled in them. And Stretch Monster was a green scaly monster, and you could have fights with them and stretch them around things. And
funny. They sound vaguely familiar to me, Chris. Anything like that?
They are not in, and in fact, if Brennan has his Stretch Armstrong or Stretch Monster, we want them, because what made them so stretchy has what museum conservators call inherent vice. It sort of eats them up from the inside, and they do not survive well to come to museums. So we're still looking for good condition Stretch Armstrongs, which were a big hit in the 1970s.
So, Brennan, do you still have your Stretch Monster or Stretch Armstrong?
Oh, I don't. I was looking for one on the internet, and they're $200 to $500 now for a good one.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's where they all are, Chris.
All right. We'll go shopping if Brennan doesn't have his to share.
Yeah, you know, now is... When you say longevity is one of the criterion for a toy hall of fame, because that toy might deteriorate, is that then not going to be considered, or are you just talking that it's still being made and on the market today?
Still being made and on the market. Our goal is to have a toy on the market for at least 20 years so that kids and their parents could have both grown up with the same plaything.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the Strong Museum and what is your mission?
We are the only museum in the world dedicated to studying play and how it relates to American culture and history. And we're the biggest museum holding toys, dolls, games, electronic games in the world. Every year we welcome almost 600,000 guests to the museum, and we've got 400,000 play-related items in our collection that we show in our spacious museum, and more than 55,000 of them are available for your listeners to browse on our website.
That's great. Well, why is it important to have such a museum?
You know, play is crucial to growing up and surviving, basically. It has been hardwired into our programming for beyond centuries. And psychologists and sociologists know that if you don't play, you don't really live in a full way. And we are out to help remind people of the ways that play has stayed the same. Some of these centuries-old playthings still are popular today. And also the way that it's changed and the way that it affects us and how we have shaped the world by play.
Our next caller is Jim in Saukville. Hi, Jim.
Good morning.
Morning.
So I have both a comment and a submission. So the comment is that I think Pac-Man has to be recognized, if nothing else, for inspiring corporate behavior in America. But my proposal would be the Mazda Miata, which is a guy's plaything largely in racetracks and autocross tracks and just the highway.
You're talking about a real adult's car, Jim?
Oh, real adult car.
Oh, it's a plaything, though. Well, but that doesn't count, does it, Chris?
It doesn't, although I would like to have the opportunity to consider it. I think I need to take that concept out for a drive, maybe even a year-long test drive. And I also like it. He didn't propose a Hummer. We could fit a Mazda Miata through doorways in the museum. I'd have a harder time with some bigger vehicles. So I wouldn't be opposed to a Mazda Miata, but I'm not counting on seeing it in the Hall of Fame real soon.
But I did see on Facebook we had some suggestions like matchstick cars or Hot Wheels. Those things are, or at least Hot Wheels for sure, is in the Hall of Fame already, right?
Hot Wheels are in, but matchbox cars aren't. And I know that there are people who are very dogmatic about which one belongs in the Hall of Fame.
Oh,
and I'm talking to an advocate yesterday of American Flyer toy trains who was not mollified that Lionel trains were in. People are faithful to the brand that they grew up with often.
Isn't that something? I had no idea. Ezra emails. I know Pac-Man is in, but do you expect to see any general home consoles like Atari or Nintendo to be inducted anytime soon?
Yes, we inducted the Atari 2600 game system back in 2007. It wasn't the first, it wasn't the best, but it was the one that broke through into so many homes. And I think that some of the other game systems, we inducted the Game Boy handheld from Nintendo in 2009. One of the challenges is that there's such a turnover in technology that not all of these systems maintain their presence on the market for 20 years.
Let's go to Bill in Kenosha. Hi, Bill. What do you nominate?
I nominate the orange crate, the wooden produce crate that all produce used to come into the grocery stores when I was a kid and when my parents were children. We used to build birdhouses, army walkie-talkies. We built a scooter, taking apart roller skates and nailing a 2x4 on the bottom and putting handles on the end and nailing the skate to the bottom, make a scooter. We could make all kinds of things similar to a cardboard box, except more durable and longer lasting.
That's great, Bill. And we have less than 30 seconds, Chris, before a news break. The box is in the Hall of Fame, isn't it?
It is. And I love the thought of the orange crate getting in the Hall of Fame, too.
All right. We will check news, and then we'll be back continuing to take your nominations for the National Toy Hall of Fame, 1-800-642-1234. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
You've got a friend in me. You've got a friend in me.
What toy would you induct into the National Toy Hall of Fame? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Friday, November 8th. The toy that you loved as a child might already be in the Hall of Fame. It might have been one of this year's finalists, or it might be a new nomination that our guest can consider. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. The newest inductees to the National Toy Hall of Fame just announced yesterday: Chess and the Rubber Duck. Those are the latest inductees to the National Toy Hall of Fame. We've already talked some about what made those toys so special, and we're talking about some of the finalists, and we are welcoming your questions and comments about your favorite toys. Chris Bench is our guest, Vice President for Collections at the Strong Museum in Rochester, New York, which includes the National Toy Hall of Fame and the National Museum of Play. We have lots of callers, so let's go back to the phones. Chuck in Oregon. Hi, Chuck. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I don't know if this really counts as a popular game, but when I was a kid in school, early grade school, there was something called Shot Box, where you had this wooden box a couple inches deep, and you had these wooden flippers. They were numbered 1 through 12, and you had two die or dice. You'd roll them, and you could flip over, so you couldn't see the numbers anymore. The number, you know, like if you rolled a 7, you could do a 1 and a 6 or a 2 and a 5, and it was a way to learn math, and also, you know, then you got a special thing on the board if you got it down to all zeros, which only happens, like, I guess, like 1 out of 2,500 times. It was pretty interesting. It was a fun game, but it was also really good learning math.
Cool. Have you heard of that one, Chris?
I have not. I'm going to go out and hunt up one of those. I think that sounds fantastic.
It does. Thank you very much, Chuck. So does a toy have to be educational to be a valuable toy?
Doesn't have to be educational, although psychologists would tell you that any toy teaches qualities and so many different ways of learning and experiencing the world and cultivating skills and knowledge. But it doesn't have to be explicitly educational to win a place in the Hall of Fame.
Here's one of the finalists.
It's not easy when you're new in town. Except when you have something that makes huge bubbles. Amazing bubbles. Bubble Thing makes people curious. How can anything make bubbles as big, as giant,
Well, I guess it wasn't the actual bubble machine, but the bubble, the blowing bubbles, made it in the on the list of finalists, Chris.
That wonderful drugstore, dime store plaything, that jar of bubbles with that little wand, or some of the amazing high technology variations of wands or machines. It's such a basic plaything, and it's been around at least since the 1600s when bar soap first got perfected.
Yeah, that was a fun one. I remember that. And then this is, I remember these being played with here and there. Let's take a listen to the Nerf.
Blast the ball. Blast the ball.
Gosh, I'm not sure exactly what's going on there, but apparently someone's throwing Nerf balls around.
Nerf was a breakthrough indoor plaything when it came out in the 1960s. That material was going to be part of a Flintstones, if you remember those cartoon characters, game, and it was going to be these mushy rocks that you needed to do something with. And the folks at Parker Brothers said, nah, we don't like the Flintstones game, but we love this material. And they turned it into a Nerf ball and said that this was the first ball you could use indoors and not cheese off your mother. So,
you know, I think you you told me on a previous program about the story behind Play-Doh. I had never heard, I didn't know that before, that this thing that I used to, you know, shape into different things or would use to pull images off the comic page.
Well, that was Silly Putty.
Oh, that's right, Silly Putty. That's what it was. It was Silly Putty. I'm sorry.
But those were both originally not intended to be playthings. Play-Doh was a wallpaper cleaner. You bought it in a gallon tub, and you rubbed it down your walls that had gotten soot from your kerosene lamps or your coal-burning stove. And it was a great product, but by the 1950s, nobody needed wallpaper cleaner the same way. Mm-hmm. So they turned it into a plaything instead.
Yep, that's right. Let's take another call. Rita in Green Bay. Hi, Rita.
Hi, Joy. I would like to nominate the Raggedy Ann doll and tell you about a toy museum in Branson, Missouri.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks very much. The Raggedy Ann doll, is that in the Hall of Fame already?
Raggedy Ann and her brother Raggedy Andy are both in the Hall of Fame. And when sometimes bad things happen and good outcomes happen, a museum honoring Raggedy Ann and Andy in Arcola, Illinois, closed down a few years back, but we were fortunate enough for them to donate a huge portion of their collection, so we have a wonderful array of Raggedy Ann and Andy at the Strong Museum.
I had both Ann and Andy. That was very fun. And I'm sorry, Rita, was there something special about this, the Branson Toy Museum, or what?
It's like three stores combined, and it has thousands of toys. So if he needs a toy, they might have it.
Oh, I see.
I am going to go on a little shopping spree. I can see that ahead in my future.
Thank you, Rita. Karen in Baraboo. Hi, Karen.
Hi. My favorite toy when I was a youngster was, it was called Creepy Crawlers. And you had this square plate that you, with a heating plate, and they had these little square metal plates, and they had like different shapes of bugs, and then this liquid plastic came, they looked like Elmer glue bottles, and you could buy all different colors, and you would just pour the goop into the molds, is what these little bug, they had different shaped bugs in it, and then you heat them up and make little rubber bugs.
And they weren't edible, or were they, Karen?
No, that came out later.
Okay.
That came out later. These are just the plastic ones, and it really had this smell that, you know, if you smell it again, it would bring you right back to playing with that. Yes. And I really, really enjoyed making all those little creepy crawlers.
I wonder if they're toxic. No, I don't know. Chris, what about the creepy crawlers?
They are not in the Hall of Fame yet, but I know exactly what Karen is talking about. We must be about the same age, and yes, that aroma takes me right to my best friend Chuck's bedroom, where we would cook up creepy crawlers and then try to figure out pranks, where to put that centipede on some food product in the kitchen or things like that.
Oh, that's good. What about the Easy Bake Oven? That's in there, isn't it?
Yeah, speaking of baking, Easy Bake Oven is in there, and because I am so dedicated to my job, I have actually baked with the Easy Bake Oven.
What'd you make?
Not just baked, but eaten the product. So if you're offered vanilla cookies or plain yellow cake mix, those are just about as good as the one that Betty Crocker makes full size. So go ahead and enjoy to your heart's delight.
Let's go to Angie in Shorewood now. Hi, Angie.
You mean Augie?
Oh, I'm sorry. I misread that, right. Augie. Go ahead, Augie.
The jigsaw puzzle. It appeals to people of all ages, children, adults, senior citizens. I think it's an excellent toy.
Yeah, it is.
And also, since we are from Wisconsin, the game of sheep's head.
Yep,
my father taught me that, too.
Yeah, isn't that great? And I haven't played it in years, but I think I'll try to get a family get-together and play sheep's head. You may not have even heard of sheep's head, Chris.
I have not. I grew up with euchre and pinochle in Ohio, but sheep's head must not have made it that far east and south.
Yeah, that's true. And what about the jigsaw puzzle?
Jigsaw puzzle is in, and I am thrilled to be negotiating right now with one of the national experts on jigsaw puzzles to get a significant part of her collection. It is so important, and as he says, kids, adults, it can come at any skill level.
Let's take a listen to another commercial for a very popular toy, one of the finalists this year, but it was not inducted.
Is this the end for Donatello?
Eat this, turtle breath.
Got a pizza instead?
Coming right up.
It's the turtle's motorized pizza thrower.
Hey, they're having a party.
Oh, no.
That's the teenage mutant ninja turtles. And I don't know what that they had some sort of pizza something going on there. But so the Ninja Turtles didn't make it.
They did not, and maybe some of your listeners find it hard to believe that they've been around for a quarter of a century already, and they were originally starting out to be a spoof of superheroes, and they turned into pop cultural sensations in their own right and have gone on to so many action figures. They've had movies. They've had TV shows. They are a great plaything, and now new generations are discovering them.
And I'm assuming that boys and girls liked a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but I know a lot of girls really liked My Little Pony.
My little pony, my little pony, comb and brush her hair. My little pony, my little pony, tie a ribbon to show how much I care.
Isn't that sweet? I never had a My Little Pony, but anyway. So why is that? Why was that a finalist?
You know, My Little Pony, I like to think of as Barbie with four legs.
That's right.
Because you could get so many accessories for your pony, and My Little Pony had wonderfully stylable mane and tail, and play with hair is a big thing for girls at a particular age, and plus so many girls have a fondness for horses and all things equine. So you put those together, and you've got a plaything that, as they say in the business, has legs.
Yeah, there we go. We are talking about toys that are in or should be in the National Toy Hall of Fame. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Beep, beep, school's open.
At the Fisher-Price School, learning is just part of the fun.
Hey, skateboards don't go to school.
It's 11 to 12.
Time for lunch.
Where's the teacher?
She's in the playground.
Look, she's jumping rope.
He wants the seesaw.
Next. The Little People School with Pullout Playground from Fisher-Price.
Who remembers Little People? Little People, one of the finalists in this year's Hall of Fame inductee ceremony, did not win. The newest toy Hall of Famers are the Rubber Ducky and the Game of Chess, but we are talking about the finalists and past winners and welcoming your nominations. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 10 minutes before 8 o'clock. on this Friday, November 8th. We are talking with Chris Bench. He is Vice President for Collections at the Strong Museum in Rochester, New York, which includes the National Toy Hall of Fame and the National Museum of Play. What can you tell us about Little People, Chris?
Little People have been around since 1959, and they have had incredible impact on kids for generations with all those great playsets, the farm with the talking barn, airports, houses, Sesame Street sets. They go on, and they have promoted so much creative, imaginative play. They are just a wonderful plaything, and I will be delighted the year they finally make it into the Hall of Fame.
Connie in Portage is with us. Hello, Connie.
Hi, good morning. I'm sort of old here, so I was wondering, and I don't know if this is already in, what about a farm set?
Hey, Connie, join the club, by the way, okay? I'm just kidding.
Yes.
That
was my main wish in the 40s, was we lived on a farm, and I wondered if that's already in there.
A farm set, Chris.
It is not, and I've been thinking about farm sets a lot recently. I spent a summer vacation in Vermont, and one of my great pleasures was looking at all the beautiful farms over that landscape, and farm sets have been such an important plaything across time, and I would like to see them in, but Connie's the first one to propose them for the Hall of Fame.
Thank you, Connie. Jess in Viroqua. Hi, Jess.
Hi. My suggestion is Gnipkinop.
What was that, Jess?
It was a domed ping pong ball game where you'd fling them back and forth from one side to the other.
Say it again?
There was a plastic dome, and you had little paddles on each side, and you'd slam them down and you'd try and shoot a ping pong ball from your side to the other side.
Yeah, it sounds vaguely familiar. What about you, Chris?
I've been dealing with Gnipknop just recently, which is actually ping pong spelled backwards.
Oh.
And it's a Parker Brothers game that was a hit in the 1960s. We actually have a copy of that on display in another one of our exhibits called Game Time, about board and card games across time. And it's a great game. And you're the first person to mention it for the Hall of Fame. I will take that under advisement.
Thank you, Jess. Darlene in Tomahawk. Hi, Darlene. What would you like to nominate?
Hi, Joy. Well, there's two things. Years ago, we'd play triominoes with my brother-in-law and sister-in-law's family. So for our family, we went out and picked up quadominoes, which made it even more difficult. And then there was always Chinese checkers, but we beat that out with aggravation.
I remember all of them, except quadominoes, I don't think. Isn't the domino in the Hall of Fame, Chris?
Just last year. Mm-hmm. So we will be sure that we have all the variations that went on from that. And I hold a special place in my heart for aggravation. That was my family's go-to game. And I'm surprised that we weren't thrown out of campgrounds on summer vacations as we screamed violently at each other over aggravation in a fun way.
Right. Thank you, Darlene. Janet in Stanley. Hi, Janet.
Hi, Joy. I would like to nominate Jack in the Box.
Didn't they scare the heck out of you, Janet?
Yeah, it did, but it was fun.
It was fun. Chris, what about the Jack? Go ahead. I'm sorry, Janet.
I didn't know if it was in the Hall of Fame. I think it's relatively old.
It is. It was originally a very high-technology toy. It was basically a music box with one extra action, that pop-up that made it such a fun scare for small kids especially. And the Jack in the Box is indeed in the Hall of Fame. And I think it's a wonderful toy, especially for the little kids who love repeatable games like Peekaboo.
Yeah, Pop Goes the Weasel. So we don't have any audio clip for this, but there's the scooter. Is that like the thing with like a skateboard with an arm on it, the scooter, or is it more a motorized thing?
No, not motorized. You need to push it along, mm-hmm. and there were so many metal manufactured scooters over the years, but one of your callers earlier mentioned an orange crate that you could build into a scooter, and those homemade scooters are awfully hard for museums to find, and we like those as well as the metal ones or the very recent high-tech ones, those Razor scooters that roll beautifully and so fast.
Now, the Wall Street Journal reported this summer that the Toy Hall of Fame is going to expand to include the Toy Industry Hall of Fame. What's going on?
Well, if you've got the playthings that have changed our lives, it's also important to recognize the people who made or marketed or sold the playthings that changed our lives. And the toy industry has been recognizing great folks like the founders of Hasbro and Mattel. They've recognized Walt Disney and John Lasseter of Toy Story for their role in shaping the world of play. And this will bring those wonderful people together with the wonderful products that they've had an impact on, and we're going to celebrate all of them in one new gallery that will be opening in the fall of 2015.
Sounds good. Boy, we have lots of callers. Here's one of my all-time favorites. I almost forgot about it. Aaron in Stanley. Hi, Aaron.
Good morning. I am nominating the Light Bright.
Yeah, that was so much fun. Is that there already, Chris?
It's not. Light Bright's been a finalist, and I like that, too.
Yeah. Here's another favorite along the same lines, Debbie in Laval. Hi, Debbie.
Hi. I nominate Spirograph. Is that in there?
Not yet, but Spirograph, I had that as well. It was a big birthday wish that was gratified in one of my childhood years, and Spirograph with all those geometric gears and cogs that let you create beautiful designs, it's a fantastic toy.
Yeah, that was one I actually did get. So Patty in Madison is with us. Hi, Patty.
Hi. I am nominating Little Kittles, which very few people remember, but maybe you guys do.
Are they like the little people, Chris?
They are small, like little people, but they had combable hair. They were a Mattel product. My sister had Little Kittles, so I'm from the right generation to remember those. And they are not in the Hall of Fame. They weren't on the market probably long enough to fit our longevity, but they are a great doll.
Now, did they, what about the Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down?
Yes, those have come up as well for the Hall of Fame, and so has the various other mini dolls, the whole category that exists as that.
Jim in Wisconsin Rapids, almost out of time, but what do you nominate?
Quick vote for Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Yeah, those guys are too much. And the heads, didn't you knock their blacks off or something? I can't remember.
You knocked it, hit the chin, and then the head would fly up. And I think they still make the things. I'm not sure. But
they do. They are such a perennial hit. And they're not in the Hall of Fame, but boy, do they have durability. They've probably got what it takes to make it in.
This has been so much fun. We have less than 30 seconds, Chris. So what do you think might be some of the toys, or maybe newer toys that you think could be future Hall of Famers?
Well, I think for the way it changed our electronic gaming, there might be a place in the Hall of Fame for the Nintendo Wii that let you gesture and not have to manipulate buttons to play your electronic games.
I'm sure it will one day be there. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Joy.
Chris Bench is the Vice President for Collections at the Strong Museum in Rochester, New York, which includes the National Toy Hall of Fame and the National Museum of Play. Thanks to Robin Cherry for on-air production. Thanks to Bill Martins for producing the program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.